That's exciting. Okay, Matthew chapter 22, and I just want to read a couple verses this morning out of Matthew chapter 22, and I want to start reading in verse 41. I'm sorry, and we'll just read verses 41 and 42. Matthew chapter 22, verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." Let's pray. Dear Lord, bless the message this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would help me as I preach your word. Lord, I can't do this without you, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me. Speak through me, Lord. I do not want to get in your way today, and I do not want to be a hindrance, Lord, to the work that your Holy Spirit has already begun in the hearts of your people today. This morning, I pray that you would remove any hindrances, Lord, any distractions, Lord, from the service this morning. And God, that you might, Lord, give us liberty, Lord, and freedom, Lord, to be able to receive your word. Not as the word of men, but as your word, the word of very words of God. And Lord, we thank you so much for your truth, and we thank you so much for this church, Lord, and what this church means, Lord. And Lord, we thank you so much that you have, sent your son to die on the cross, Lord, for our sins. And we thank you for the salvation that we have through him. And I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that's not saved, that does not know Christ as their Savior, that they would make that decision, Lord, that all-important decision to trust Christ today. We give you all the glory and honor and praise for what you're going to do in our hearts this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Jesus asked the Pharisees a question here in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 42. He said, "What think ye of Christ?" Most of us here this morning have thought about Christ. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. I'm sure most of us have thought about Christ, and we've come to some kind of conclusion about whose son he was. Most of us have an opinion about Jesus Christ based on what we've heard and what we know about him. For 2,000 years, men and women have been talking about Jesus Christ and thinking about Jesus Christ. And while some have made up their minds about who he was, others have not. But since Jesus first put this question to the Pharisees here in Matthew chapter 22, the question, "What think ye of Christ?" has come up over and over again down through the years. This morning I want to bring that question up again. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? I think that's a very appropriate question to ask, especially since Resurrection Sunday is just around the corner, and we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of our Savior in just a few weeks. And I think it's an appropriate question to ask. What think ye of Christ? Now, if I were to ask you this morning what you thought about the President of the United States, I'm sure you would be more than willing to offer your opinion. I think if I were to ask the question this morning, what do you think about the mayor of the North Sault Borough, you probably would be ready with an answer. You probably would be more than willing and more than happy to tell me your opinion of the mayor of the North Sault Borough. If I were to ask some of you wives what you thought about your husbands today, I'm sure I'd get an earful, but we're not going to go there this morning. And really, what we think about others, what we think about other people doesn't matter. What you think about the President of the United States may seem important to you, but that's not going to determine where you're going to spend eternity. That's just not that important. My question to you here, who are here today, is, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? I think that's a question that deserves some careful thought and consideration, and it's a question that deserves an answer. We need to make up our minds about the Lord Jesus Christ, because the answer that we have, the answer that we give to that question, what think ye of Christ, is going to determine where we spend eternity and whether we're going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. If we are for Christ, then we should let this world know. And if we are not, we should take a stand on the other side. But We need to let the world know. If we're on Christ's side, we need to let the world know where we stand. We should never be too ashamed or too afraid to let this wicked, ungodly world know that we are on the side of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of confusion today about who is on God's side, and one group says, oh, God is on our side. This other group says, no, God is on our side. And there's a lot of confusion out there about whose side God is on or who is on God's side. Some people who claim to know Jesus wouldn't recognize Him if He was standing in the middle of the road holding a sign up. I'm glad I know the God of the Bible, aren't you? I'm glad I know who Jesus is today. There's so much confusion out there. There's so much deceit out there. The devil is deceiving people right and left into thinking that they're all right because they've been sprinkled or they saw a vision or they had some kind of supernatural experience that's got nothing to do with Bible salvation or having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm not asking you this morning what you think about religion. I'm not asking you this morning what you think about the Baptist denomination. My question to you today is simply this: what think ye of Christ? I'm not asking you this morning what you think about this church or Baptist doctrine. I'm asking you this morning what you think about Jesus Christ. Was He really the Son of God? Did He really leave heaven to come down to this old sin-cursed world to seek and to save lost sinners? What do you think about His birth? The birth of Christ was prophesied about in the Old Testament. It was foretold by the prophets that the Savior would come one day and be born of a virgin and be born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. What do you think about His birth? What do you think about His life? He spent 33 and a half years on this earth ministering to the needs of others. What do you think about Him as a preacher and a teacher? He spoke with power and authority, the Bible says. His preaching was simple and easy to be understood. His message was plain. It was a message of repent and believe. Be converted. That's what the message that Jesus preached was. His teaching was practical and life-changing. He taught meekness and humility, self-sacrifice and compassion. He taught men and women to love God with all their hearts, souls, mind, and strength. And He taught them to love their neighbors as themselves. What do you think about Christ as a preacher and a teacher? What do you think about Him as a physician? He healed hundreds of men and women. He cast out devils, cured diseases, and cared for the sick. And not one sick, diseased, or possessed person who came to Christ for healing left in the same condition that they had come. He healed every one of them. No problem was too big for Christ. No illness was too advanced. Devils, diseases, and death were no match for the great physician. All He had to do was speak a word and their victims were made perfectly whole. I'm reminded of the leper who came to Christ in Matthew chapter 8. And the Bible says that this leper came and fell at Jesus' feet and worshiped Him. And Jesus didn't tell this leper to get lost. He didn't say, hey, you're unclean. Don't come near me. I don't want to have anything to do with you. The Bible says this leper came to Him and worshiped Him and said, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus didn't say, be gone, leper. I don't want to have anything to do with you. I don't want to catch your disease. No, the Bible says Jesus put forth His hand. Jesus put forth His hand and He touched that dirty, unclean leper. And He said, I will be thou clean. And the Bible says immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I thank God He's the great physician. What do you think about Him as a comforter? In John chapter 11, Jesus spoke words of comfort and encouragement to Mary and Martha after their brother Lazarus had died. Jesus told Martha that her brother would rise again. And He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Just His presence at that time in their lives was a comfort to Mary and to Martha for sure. What think ye of Christ as a comforter? What think ye of Christ as a physician? What think ye of Christ as a preacher and a teacher? And we could go on all day, but for the sake of time, I want to focus this morning on those who knew Jesus Christ during His days on the earth. What did they think about Him? What did His friends and followers think about Him? What did His enemies think about Him? And yes, Jesus did have enemies. Yes, there were those who hated and despised Jesus Christ because of what he stood for. For instance, we know that the Pharisees couldn't stand him. They couldn't stand him. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. But why? What did they have against Jesus Christ? What did the Pharisees think about Christ? Turn with me to the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 15. And I'll try not to have you turn around too much this morning, but we are going to look at some scriptures this morning. And as we try to get through the message this morning, but in Luke chapter 15, in verse 1, the Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." The Bible says the sinners, the publicans, drew near to Jesus to hear what Jesus had to say. And the Pharisees saw that and they said, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." That was their accusation against Jesus Christ. The only argument that they had against him was, "This man receiveth sinners. He was a friend to sinners." Boy, what a terrible crime. But that's what the Pharisees thought about Christ. And you know, they were right. This man did receive sinners. He was a friend to sinners. And he still is. Amen. Praise God, he still is today. One of the greatest compliments ever paid to Jesus Christ was given to him by his enemies. "This man receiveth sinners." For once in their lives, those bunch of lying devils told the truth. And that truth right there is the glory of the gospel. That's the good news of salvation. We'd all be in hell today if that statement was not true. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Even while Jesus was hanging on the cross, the Pharisees, mocking him, said, "He saved others. Himself, he cannot save." Jesus was and is the Savior, and there's no question about it. He did save others. That is true. But he couldn't save himself and save us too. So he willingly laid down his life for you and for me. And I'm so glad that he did. He saved others. He died for other men's sins. He gave his life a ransom for many. He was a friend to sinners, and he still is. So what the Pharisees thought about Christ was right. What about Pilate? What did the Roman governor who sentenced Jesus to die think about Christ? What was his opinion of the man from Galilee? Jesus was brought before Pilate in John chapter 19. Pilate talked with him face to face. Pilate examined him. What was his conclusion? What conclusion did Pilate come to after examining the Lord Jesus Christ? Pilate said, "I find no fault in him at all." Even Pilate's wife told her husband in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 19, "Have thou nothing to do with this just man?" Pilate said, "I find no fault in him at all." Pilate's wife called Jesus a just man. That's what two Roman Gentiles thought about Jesus Christ. Judas. What about Judas, the traitor, the one who betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver? What did Judas think about Jesus Christ? Judas was one of the 12 apostles. He was with Jesus for 3.5 years. He pretended to be one of Christ's own followers, one of Christ's own disciples. He walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus, saw the miracles that Jesus performed, and then when the time was right and the price was right, he betrayed Jesus with a kiss. So what did Judas think about Christ? In Matthew chapter 27, Judas said, "I have betrayed the innocent blood. I have betrayed the innocent blood." That's what the man who betrayed Jesus thought about him. God saw that every person who had any involvement in the death and crucifixion of Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, testified to the fact that Jesus was innocent of any crime. I think of the Roman centurion who was present at the crucifixion. He was the one who had charge over the soldiers who had crucified Jesus. He had commanded them to nail Jesus to the cross. He had commanded them to pierce his side with the spear. He had heard every word that Jesus had spoken while he was hanging on the cross. He had witnessed Jesus' death on the cross. So what did this man think about Christ? In Mark chapter 15, verse 39, the Bible says, "And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" In Luke chapter 23, verse 47, the Bible says there, "Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly, this was a righteous man.'" That's what the Roman centurion thought about Christ. He was a righteous man. He was the Son of God. Now, if I wanted to know what kind of man Jesus was, I would probably go not only to his enemies, but I'd go to his friends. And we talked about already the people who were his enemies and what they thought about him, but what did his friends think about him? If I wanted to find out what kind of man Glenn was, I wouldn't go to people who didn't know Glenn. I wouldn't go to people who didn't have a relationship with Glenn. I would probably go to those who Glenn had spent some time with, or who had spent some time with Glenn, and I would go talk to those people who had a close relationship with Glenn to find out what kind of man Glenn was. And I think Glenn's a good man. Amen? He's a good man. It's good to see you back, Glenn. You guys have fun on your dog sled ride? Wow. That's great. But we've heard from Christ's enemies. We know what they thought about Jesus Christ. Let's take some time now to look at what his friends thought about him. Let's start with John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. John's job was to prepare the way for Christ. John was Jesus' cousin. John baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. What did that old-time leather-lunged Baptist preacher have to say about Jesus Christ? In John chapter 1, John the Baptist said about Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God." Behold the Lamb of God. That's what John the Baptist thought about Jesus. He said, "I bear record that this is the Son of God." John the Baptist said in John chapter 3, verse 30, "He must increase, I must decrease." One thing's for sure, John had the right idea about who Jesus was, and John had the right idea about what being a Christian meant. He must increase, I must decrease. What about Peter? What did Peter think about Christ? Peter was one of the three disciples who were the closest to Jesus during his earthly ministry. Peter was with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was there when he saw the Lord appeared and his face was shining like the sun and his raiment was white and glistering. What did he have to say about Jesus Christ? What did Peter think about Christ? In Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus asked his disciples what they thought about him, he said, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're a prophet, some say you're a teacher, some say you're Elias. And he said, well, who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, we all know, after that great statement of faith, Peter went on to deny the Lord three times. But the Bible says, afterward, he went out. And he wept bitterly. And after Christ's resurrection, Jesus appeared to Peter, and Peter said, and Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. And Jesus asked him again, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yeah, Lord, I do. And Jesus asked him again the third time, Peter, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep, Peter. If you love me, feed my sheep. On the day of Pentecost, Peter got up and he preached a message. And in that message, he let the whole world know exactly what he thought about Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Peter called him Lord and Christ. That's what Peter thought about Jesus. And history tells us that when it came time for Peter to be martyred for his Christian faith, he wouldn't allow his executioners to crucify him right side up. He demanded that he be crucified with his head down because he felt that he wasn't worthy to die in the same manner, in the same position that his Savior died. That's what Peter thought about Jesus Christ. Probably no one knew Jesus better than John the Apostle. The Bible calls John the beloved apostle, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the Bible calls him. John was so close to Jesus that at the Last Supper he laid his head on Christ's bosom and heard Christ's heart beating for sinners just before he went to Calvary to die on the cross. What did John think about Jesus? Read and study the Gospel of John, and you'll know exactly what John thought about Jesus Christ. Matthew wrote about Jesus as the King. Mark wrote about Jesus as the servant. Luke wrote about Him as the Son of Man. But John wrote about Him as the eternal Son of God. In John chapter 1, verse 1, John began his gospel with these words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That's what John thought about Jesus Christ, the disciple who was closest to Him. What about Thomas? We don't talk about Thomas a lot, but I think he's worth mentioning this morning. The disciple we call Doubting Thomas, because when Christ first appeared to His apostles after His resurrection, Thomas wasn't there. He was absent for whatever reason from that assembly. And then Thomas missed seeing Jesus. And when the other 10 disciples told him, "Hey, Jesus appeared to us. We saw Jesus. He's not dead. He's alive." Thomas didn't believe them. He said, "Except I see the print in His hands, except I see the wound in His side, I'm not going to believe." Well, the next time Jesus appeared to His disciples, Thomas was there. And Jesus said, "Thomas, reach hither thy hand and behold the prints and my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And what was Thomas' answer? He said, "My Lord and my God." What did he think about Jesus? He called Him his Lord and his God. What about the angels in heaven? What do they think about Christ? They saw Him leave heaven to leave. They saw Him leave glory to come down to this world and be born in a manger, be born in a stable. What do the angels think about Christ? In Luke chapter 2, one of heaven's angels appeared to the shepherds out in the wilderness tending their flocks, and the angel told them, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then after that announcement was made, the Bible says there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man." It sounds to me like the angels thought pretty highly of Jesus Christ. They gave Him glory and praise. Why don't we? He's worthy, amen. In Revelation chapter 5, the Bible tells us that the redeemed in heaven, the saints of God in heaven, shout and sing and praise His name, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb, blessing and honor and glory and praise and power be unto the Lord, be unto the Lamb forever and ever." The Bible says in Psalms, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Some of us are going to need heart medication when we get to heaven and we get around all that singing and praising. We're going to have problems. We're going to need some heart medication, because here on this earth, man, we're so worldly minded sometimes. We don't know how to praise God. We don't know what it means to praise and glorify God and lift His name up on high. But He's worthy of praise. We know what the angels think about Christ. We know what His friends thought about Him. We know what Peter and John the Baptist thought about Jesus. We know what His enemies thought about Him, what the Pharisees thought about Christ, what Pilate thought about Christ. What think ye about Christ? What do you think about Jesus? Let me leave you with one more witness this morning before I close. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Find verse 16 and I'll be done. I'm getting ready to close. Just one more witness. The witness of the Lord of hosts. The witness of Jehovah God Himself concerning Jesus Christ. After Jesus was baptized, when He came up out of the water, the Bible says, there came a voice from heaven. God the Father spoke, and His testimony concerning Jesus in verse 17 was this: "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God the Father thinks well of His Son. And if the Father thinks well of Jesus, if the Father is well pleased with Him, shouldn't we be well pleased with Him? Shouldn't we think well of Jesus Christ? You see, if both the sinner and God think well of Jesus Christ, if they are both well pleased with Him as the Savior and as a sacrifice for man's sin, then God and the sinner can have a right relationship with one another. The moment a sinner says, "I accept Jesus as my Savior, I am well pleased with Him," that sinner becomes reconciled to God. When the sinner believes and accepts the testimony of the Father concerning His Son, God and the sinner are in perfect agreement. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John were up there, and Moses and Elias appeared to Jesus and were talking with Him, and the Bible says there came a voice again from heaven. And that voice was God's voice, and it said the very same thing that it says here in Matthew chapter 3. It said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But God said, "Hear Him. Hear Him." God wants us to hear Him. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Listen to the call of the Son of God in Matthew chapter 11. "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." How can sinners not think well of a Savior who speaks words of truth and love like that to their hearts? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. Jesus said, "Come unto Me. I will give you rest." He said, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." What think ye of Christ? Do you believe He was and is the Son of God? Do you know Him this morning as your personal Savior? Are you trusting in Him alone for salvation? If you cannot answer those questions with assurance and with peace in your heart, then you need to trust Christ as your Savior this morning. If you cannot answer the question this morning that I asked, are you trusting in Him alone for salvation? If you're trusting in anything else, if you're trusting in something other than Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross of Calvary for your salvation, you need to trust Him alone. You need to put your faith in Him alone. Christian, are you living for Him? He laid down His life for you. The least you can do is lay down your life for Him. He bore His cross for you. It's only reasonable that you take up your cross and follow Him. The Bible says that's our reasonable service. What think ye of Christ? Some of us have answered that question with our lips one way, but our lives have answered that question in a completely different way. Some of us have honored Christ with our lips, but not with our lives. Jesus said, "If you love Me, prove your love for Me by keeping My commandments, by obeying My word." Listen, God knows what we really think about Christ. God knows what we really think about Christ. And so does the world. The world knows what we really think about Jesus Christ because the world is watching how we live our lives. And if our lives don't match what our lips are saying, it's going to be obvious to them that we don't think well of Jesus at all. How about it, Christian? What think ye of Christ? How about it, sinner? What think ye of Christ? Lord, help us. Help us all to glorify You by thinking well of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, may You have Your will and Your way in the invitation this morning. Amen. If God's spoken to your heart, I want to give you an opportunity to come. Maybe God's spoken to your heart about salvation. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. You don't know for sure where you're going when you die. Come forward this morning and let me take the Word of God and show you. This is the truth. This is God's Word. And listen, there's no other way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Truth is found in God's Word. It's written down for us. If we want to know the truth, we've got to read it. If you would like to know the truth about salvation this morning, what the Bible has to say about Jesus Christ, who He was, why He came to this world, come forward this morning and let me show you. I'd be happy to take the Word of God and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. God wants you to know. He said, these things are written that you may know. God doesn't want you to be in the dark. God doesn't want you to wonder or to doubt. God wants you to have peace. God wants you to have assurance about your salvation. What about you, Christian? Is your life matching up with what your lips are saying? What think ye of Christ? What kind of a testimony are you in this community for Christ? God wants us to have a right testimony. God wants us to have a right relationship with Him because the world is watching. The world is looking at us. They see the lives that we're living. And they're looking for an excuse. Are we giving them an excuse? Are we giving them an excuse? I'm done preaching. If God spoke in your heart, why don't you come? We don't need a song, really, I guess. But if God spoke in your heart, why don't you come? Let's all be in an attitude of prayer for just a minute or so, and let's let the Lord move. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes and pray. And if there's somebody here this morning that's not saved, please don't waste this opportunity to come and be saved. Come and be born again. Jesus said you must be born again. Have you been born again? Do you know Christ as your Savior this morning? What think ye of Christ? Do you believe that He was and is the Son of God? Do you believe that He died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that He took your place on the cross? Do you believe that He gave His life for you to redeem you unto Himself? A new creature. Do you believe that He was sinless, perfect, the Holy Son of God? Do you believe that He was virgin born? Do you believe that He was God in flesh? What think ye of Christ? The answer to that question this morning, how you answer that question, will determine where you're going to spend eternity. It will determine whether you spend eternity in heaven or in hell. What think ye of Christ? What is your answer to that question this morning? If you don't believe that He was the Son of God, if you don't believe that He is the final sacrifice for man's sin, if you don't believe that His blood is the only thing that can wash away your sin, then please let me show you from the Word of God that these things are true, that these things are right. This world has a warped concept of who Jesus really was. The Jesus of the Bible is not the Jesus we see in the paintings. It's not the Jesus we see in the pictures or in the movies. The Jesus of the Bible was God's holy, spotless, sinless Son. He was the Lamb of God. And He is worthy. He is worthy. Do you know Him? Do you know Him as your Savior? Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for the message this morning. Thank You, Lord, for providing us with a way to have a right relationship with You through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, as Christians, as believers, Lord, in this community, that we would go out and that we would let people know. We would let the world know what we think about Christ and that we think well of Him by the way we live our lives. Lord, help us. This world is wicked. This world is getting worse and worse every day, Lord. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, may You be exalted. May You be lifted up in our lives each and every day. Bless those who have come this morning, Lord. As we go our separate ways, Lord, I pray that You would watch over and take care of these families and these people, Lord. Bring us back safely tonight. Bless the services throughout the day, Sunday school and youth group and the evening service tonight, Lord. And I pray that You would, Lord, once again meet with us, Lord, and move in our midst, Lord, and have Your will and way in our hearts and lives today. In Your name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming this morning. God bless you. So good to see you here.